dear devotees, today in the Bhakti Shatak, we'll be continuing with Doha number 28. In this Doha, Sri Maharaji explains that out of millions of liberated jnanis who have attained Brahma Gyan, out of millions of them, hardly ever, sometimes, one of them attains Premanand, the divine love of Sri Krishna. So, we'll start by explaining this Doha tonight. Radhe, 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 Radhe. Radhe, 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 Radhe. तीन ज्ञानीन मध्य को तीन ज्ञानीन मध्य को प्रेम सुधारस पाय जिमि सनकादि शुकादि मन ब्रज रस रहे डुबाए राधे राधे ब्रज रस रहे डुबाए सुधारस सन का दिशु कादि मन कोटिन ज्ञानिन मध्य को प्रेम सुधारस पाय जिमि सनकादि शुकादि मन ब्रज रस रहे डुबाय राधे राधे ब्रज रस रहे डुबाय Thank you. The Bhagavatam says the same exact thing. In fact, with this doha, Sri Maharaji is translating the shloka of the Bhagavat. Muktanam api siddhanam kotishvapi mahamune sudurlabha prashantatma. Out of kotin, mukt, siddh, mukt means liberated, siddh means perfected. Narayana, parayana. One of them may get the divine love of Shri Krishna. This indicates that there's a difference, just like we talked about. That even though the forms of God are the same, internally they're not even different personalities. They're one and the same, and yet there's a difference between attaining formless God, attaining Almighty God, and attaining Shri Krishna. Formless God has no name, form, leelas, virtues, abode, jan. Almighty God, Paramatma, has name, form, abode, and virtues, but no leelas or jan, parikar. And Shri Krishna, Bhagwan Shri Krishna, has all six. So he's manifesting his full potential, his full potency as Shri Krishna. The type of bliss is called Brahmanand. If you get the bliss of formless God, then Aishwaryanand, if you get the bliss of Almighty God, Paramatma, and Premanand, if you get the bliss of Shri Krishna. This Premanand is very special. And as evidence of this, we have some examples from our history. Here, Sri Maharaji mentions two of them. Sanak, Sanat, Sanandan, Sanat Kumar. Four Jnani saints. Jnani saints from birth. They're also considered to be avatar of God. They're one of the first divine personalities to come here on earth. They're famous for continuously ever remaining absorbed in the bliss of Nirakar Brahm. We call Brahmanand. Completely beyond any kind of material emotions or attachments, absorbed 24 hours a day in Brahmanand. So, why do we give them as an example? Because they're first established in Brahmanand. Their divine mind is drowned in that limitless bliss of formless God. But one time it happened that they went to Vaikunth abode. This is the abode of Paramatma. See, the almighty forms of God reside in Vaikunth abode. Vishnu, Shiva, etc. They reside in Vaikunth abode. So, Sanakadik Paramahans, as they're called, these four brothers, they went with their mind absorbed in Brahmanand and they entered Vaikunth abode. And imagine this, before even getting a glimpse of Mahavishnu, something happened to them. Tasyaravinda nayanasya padaravinda kinjalka mishra tulasi makaranda vayu antargatah svavivarena chakar tesham sankshobham aksharajusha mapi chitta tanvo. Bhagavatam. This event, which is told in the Bhagavatam, is described like this. They entered Vaikunth abode and there had been a tulsi flower. I guess tulsi plants must have flowers over there in the divine abode. So a tulsi flower had been offered at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Vishnu. When they entered that abode, the fragrance from that flower, which had been carried from the place it had been offered at his lotus feet, came on a gentle breeze over towards Sanakadik Paramahans, and Antargataha, it entered through their nostrils. And that divine fragrance, everything in the divine world is the expansion of God himself. So the flowers, the plants, the sun, the moon, the sky, the trees, the rocks, everything is Vishnu himself. Satchit Anand. So they got that divine fragrance inside, and their mind, which was like a just a constant state, in a constant state of absorption in formless God's bliss, it was awakened. They smelled that, and sang chobhamaksharajusha mapichitta tanvo. Their mind renounced that bliss of Brahmanand forever. And they came to Mahavishnu and they said, we have a desire. Kamam bhava swavrijinair nirayeshuya sya cheto livad yadinute padayorameta vachaschanastulasivadyaditengrishobha puryetate gunaganair yadikarnarandhra. They made a request from him. They said, we don't want this Brahmanand anymore. We want this bliss of your personal form, whether it's the smell of your divine fragrance, the sound of your divine name, the vision of your divine form, whatever it may be, this is all missing from the bliss of Brahmanand. It's not vyakt. So the jnani who's absorbed in Brahmanand doesn't get to experience that. So they said, you can even give us a birth in Narak if you want to. Send us to Narak. We're willing to be born there as long as we always get to keep remembering your name and hearing your virtues and singing your greatness. We're willing to be born anywhere. Such a statement from a jnani saint who had already attained Brahmanand gives you some idea of the greatness of, in fact, not even Premanand. This is Aishwaryanand they got from Mahavishnu. There's another example, a great example, one of a kind, unique personality. Shukadev Paramahans. Paramahans means someone who's generally, we refer to the jnanis who are absorbed in formless God's bliss as a Paramahans. But there's never been someone like Shukadevji. His state of absorption is unheard of. He's an amazing character to begin with. He's also considered to be a avatar of Bhagwan himself. So the amazing things that he does are, well, they shouldn't surprise us. But you will be surprised to hear that he spent 12 years in his mother's womb before he was born. He just stayed in there. His mother didn't have any discomfort, just went on with her life. But his father, who happened to be Vedavyas, finally one day said, son, what are you doing in there? Come out. He said, no, father, I'm afraid, because it says in the scriptures that when a soul, before a soul is born, he's aware that I belong to God. He has some clairvoyance, some spiritual understanding, and he knows this life has got to be used for devotion to God. But as soon as he's born, that process of being born makes him forget. He forgets God and Maya rules over him. So, I don't want to come out. Vedavyasji said, you don't have to worry. Maya's not going to affect you. Just come out. So, Shukadevji appeared out of his mother's body. There was no labor or giving birth. He just appeared out of his mother's body, and when he came out, he was already 12 years old. That same height. And he has a bluish complexion like Shri Krishna. You might have seen pictures of Shukadev Ji. Having emerged from his mother, he walked out of the hut. His father had a hut, a small ashram with some disciples that he taught Vedas and other scriptures to. Shukadev Ji left, walking out into the jungle, and his mother and father are thinking, first he stays in there for 12 years, now he comes out and without looking at anybody or saying anything, he just walks into the jungle. Yam pravrajantam anupetam apetakrityam dvaipayano virahkatar ajuhav putreti tanmayataya tarvobhine dustam sarvabhuta hridayam munimanatosmi. Shukadev Ji is in a state of, his mind is totally absorbed in Brahmanand, so he's not hearing anything of this world, he's not seeing anything of this world, he's in a state of total oneness with Brahm. So for him, there's no difference between himself and anything else. He just sees himself everywhere. And he is Brahm, Brahm is him, total state of oneness. And he's walking into the jungle and his father's calling, Shukadev Ji, Shukadev, oh son, where are you going? And he just kept walking. He walked by a pond where there were some celestial maidens bathing, apsaras. Drishtvanuyanta paramatmani, drishtvanuyanta mrishimatma, damapyanagnam, devyo hriyan paridadhur nasutasya chitram, tadvikshya prichhati munau, jagadustavasti stri pumbhida natusutasya vivikta drishtam. When Shukadev Ji walked by this pond, none of the apsaras even took notice. They didn't bother to cover themselves or anything. But when Vedavyas, who was very elderly, with a long white beard, and when he came by, they all quickly covered themselves. So seeing this, tad vikshya prichhati munau, Vedavyas Ji asked them, why did you not cover yourselves for my adolescent son, and you're covering yourselves for me? They said, Vedavyasji, the way what he sees and what you see are very different. He's not seeing a tree, a rock, a pond, a woman. He's seeing himself, 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 himself. You're seeing all these different things. So in his gaze, there was nothing to indicate. So we didn't cover up. But when you were coming, we could see that you could see. Therefore, we covered up. This was the state that Shukadev Ji was in, and he kept going. Vedavyas Ji turned back. Shukadev Ji went as far as he could into the jungle, sat down in samadhi, total brahmaleen samadhi. Leen means when you're completely absorbed in. No thought, no sound could penetrate his samadhi. No feeling could penetrate it. And he just stayed like that. After some time, Vedavyasji had written the Bhagavatam. These shlokas I just quoted from you are actually from the Bhagavatam describing this whole event. So, having written the Bhagavatam, which is considered to be another form of Shri Krishna. So, Shri Krishna's Premanand is in the Bhagavatam, or Shri Krishna himself is the Bhagavatam. So the bliss of the Bhagavatam cannot be tasted by just anybody. Someone with a divine mind could receive the bliss of the Bhagavatam. Reading Shri Krishna's Leelas, who could actually get the bliss of those Leelas? Someone with a divine mind. Only someone qualified. So Vedavyasji had taught, after rewriting Vedas and producing Mahabharata and writing the Brahma Sutra and Gita, he had qualified disciples to whom he could teach all of these scriptures, but he had no one qualified to retain the bliss of the Bhagavatam. Around that time, a couple of boys, his young disciples, Vedavyasjis, they were out gathering firewood in the jungle and they happened upon Shukadevji. No one knew where he was, but they happened upon him and they didn't know who he was. But they saw this glowing boy sitting there in samadhi in the jungle. And being curious young boys, they tried to wake him up. They called out to him. They shook him a little bit. But he wouldn't wake up. So they went back excitedly and told Vedavyasji, "Guruji, Guruji, listen to what we found in the jungle." So Vedavyasji knew, that's my son, Shukadeva. And he's the only one qualified to learn the Bhagavatam from me. So he wrote down one shloka of the Bhagavat and he gave it to those disciples and he told them, go and sing this to him. So this first shloka was Baraha Pidam Natavaravat Vapuhu. It's a famous verse of the Bhagavatam describing a beautiful scene when Shri Krishna is coming. He's grazing the cows. All the Gwalbals are with him, but they're walking over towards Vrindavan. So they're walking through beautiful green fields. The shloka describes Shri Krishna's banamala, his flute, how he's playing on the flute, what his crown is like, peacock feather, how his eyes are, how he's looking. So when Shukadevji heard this shloka, it wasn't a shloka for him, it was the real scene that penetrated his samadhi. Imagine, someone who couldn't hear a sound, couldn't see anything, had no thoughts, he was totally absorbed, because that bliss, the premanand of the Bhagavatam, is a higher power than the brahmanand that he was absorbed in, so that penetrated his samadhi, and he opened his eyes. And he looked at those boys who were there, but then he thought to himself, because he had had the vision of Shri Krishna, he thought, oh, I really want to meet him. But then he thought, how could I meet someone as beautiful as that? Shri Krishna's beauty was unlimited, unsurpassed. So even though Shri Krishna had glanced at him with a smile, Shukadevji wanted to meet him, but he thought, why would he meet me? So he just closed his eyes, went back into his samadhi. The boys came back and told Vedavyasji, he opened his eyes, but then he closed his eyes. So Vedavyasji understood what had happened, the secret of what happened inside. So he wrote another shloka, and this one was describing a particular quality of Shri Krishna, his kindness. Aho vakiyam stanakalakutam jighansaya payayadapya sadhvi lebhe gatim dhatriuchitam tatonyam kam vadayalum sharanam vrajema. Kamva dayalum, who could be so kind as Shri Krishna? And where else would I go other than him? Why? Why is he so kind? The example here is given that Putana came to Shri Krishna when he was 6 days old with the intention of killing him. But, and she smeared poison on her breast and had Shri Krishna suckle the milk. Of course, Shri Krishna didn't die. Putana died. But where did she go, having left her mortal body? Shri Krishna sent her to Golok. And the reason he gave was that, well, she was like my mother. I drank her milk, so she's my mother. In other words, Shri Krishna is looking for any reason to grace. He's so kind, he's looking for any reason to grace anybody. So if he would grace Putana, why wouldn't he grace me? Now when the boys came and sang this shlok to Shukdev ji, then he not only opened his eyes, but he looked at them and he said, okay, what is this you're singing? So they explained, this is Bhagavatam, and your father Vedavyasji has written 18,000 shlokas like this. So then Shukdevji got up, followed those boys back to his father's ashram, and learned the whole Bhagavatam from him. And later he told it to King Parikshit, which is the first famous public recitation of the Bhagavatam. So just from these two examples, there are actually dozens and dozens of actual examples like this of those who were previously absorbed in Brahmanand getting carried away with Premanand, because it's actually a higher power, a higher experience of bliss. These examples are there to help us understand what could be the highest goal of a soul. Of course, any divine attainment is a divine attainment. Any divine attainment results in liberation and the attainment of divine bliss. But we have to decide, personally, what do we desire? What experience do we want? What relationship do we want to have with God? Do we want a state of non-relationship where you're merged into formless God, a state of non-divine but non-experience? Do we want a state where we get to see God? Just like Sanakadik went, they saw Vishnu, they smelled the divine fragrance, they saw the divine abode. So you can experience God with all your five senses. Do you want something even more than that? Do you want to be able to take part in the divine leelas of Radha Krishna? It's up to you. It's the same divine God, but we have all these options. And according to the goal we set out for ourselves, we also need to find a divine guru who teaches that worship, that style of bhakti to that particular form of God in order to attain that. So everything is very specific, very clear. So we have to be clear about our goal, and we have to follow a path which leads directly to that goal. So we've covered the first 28 dohas out of 100 of the Bhakti Shatak. The next time I return, we'll continue further ahead with this. Bolie Vrindavan Bihar.